Thank you very much, Oliver. Good afternoon, all. It's always just good to see all of your smiling faces here today. Looks like we're a little bit thin in the ranks. I know we're having the Fort Worth Bible study today, but looked out and I didn't see very many people here, and I thought, well, people saw that it was Bryce and Sweat that were going to speak today, and they ran for the hills. Where's Sam? Are they trying to tell us something, Sam, you think? Well, it's good to see everybody here today. I will let you guys know that my wife tried to help me out today with my nerves, and she leaned over during the song time and said, "You want me to give you some sugar to calm your nerves?" I said, "No, that would be kind of distracting," but I did get a little peck, and I hope that definitely helps. So I'm excited to speak with you today. And today, what I'd like to talk to you about today is partisanship within God's church. And partisanship within the church has existed as far back as the church at Corinth. And we know this because we can find evidence of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. And I won't be reading it today, but I would challenge you to read it when you get a chance to. And we see there in that passage of Scripture that members of the church at Corinth have begin to choose sides between Paul and Apollos. You guys are pretty familiar with that. And so the question that I always thought about was, does partisanship have any place in God's church? We know that it will always exist because we're humans, but over time it should be something that should subside as we grow spiritually. So the definition I want to start with is a definition of partisanship. And the definition reads as follows. Partisanship is a firm adherence to a party, faction, cause, or person. It often leads to strife, which makes us easy prey for the destroyer. So what I'd like to do today, if you would, turn to 1 Peter 5 and 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8 gives us a short remedy for defending against partisanship in the church and helping us defend ourselves against the attacks of Satan the devil. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 reads, "Be sober and be vigilant." And the question I have to ask myself at this point in time is, why does it ask us to be sober and be vigilant? Because we should be very concerned, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Make no mistake, brothers and sisters, as we embark and continue on this Christian life, we have targets on our back from Satan the devil. He's always probing the perimeter of the church to seek those that he is able to pick off. So what I'd like to do to illuminate my point here today is I'd like to read a small excerpt from a children's fable that I think would bring home our points here today. It says, it's the four oxen and the lion. It says, a lion used to prowl about in the field in which four oxen used to dwell. Many a time he tried to attack them, but whenever he came near, they turned their tails to one another, so that when he approached, he was met by the horns of one of them. That's a kind of short parallel that I think that kind of lines up really good with 1 Peter 5 and 8. The purpose of today's sermonette is to discuss two weapons we can use to fend off the enemy. Discuss two weapons that we can use to fend off the enemy. Those two weapons are sobriety and vigilance. Sobriety and vigilance. And the title of my sermonette today is like the specific purpose statement. The title of the sermonette is "The Horns of Sobriety and Vigilance." The horns of sobriety and vigilance. So let's just jump right into it. What does it mean to be sober? And the first time you think about being sober, we think about not being drunk, but that's not what we're talking about today, to be drunk with intoxicating wine. What we're talking about, sober means to be calm and controlled in spirit. Or, I like the last part, to have a thoughtful character. To have a thoughtful character. So as we exercise the horn of sobriety, we want to make sure that we have a thoughtful character. If you would, with me, turn to Proverbs 17, and we'll get verse number 27. Proverbs 17, and verse number 27. Pages are sticking together. There we go. I know it was here this morning. Proverbs 17 and 27, as we think of the horn of sobriety. All right, here it is. And it reads this way. He who has knowledge spares his words. He who has knowledge spares his words. What it's asking us to do here is we should think before we speak to one another. As we exercise the horn of sobriety, we must think before we speak to one another, especially in the heat of the moment. In the heat of the moment, when things get testy between two people, you know, we tend to speak things out of our anger that we really don't mean. And the analogy that I'd like to bring out today as we look at this first point is as we think before we speak, think of it like this. Have you ever tried to put toothpaste back into a toothpaste tube after you've squeezed it onto a toothbrush? Have you ever tried? I challenge you tonight, before you brush your teeth or in the morning when you get up, squeeze toothpaste on a toothbrush and try to put it back into the tube. Our words are like that, and it tends to happen at times when we get upset, but we must, as it says here in Proverbs 17 and 27, he who has knowledge spares his words because he knows once those words are out there, he can't take them back. Another thing that we need to make sure that we think about in this is that it says in the second part of this verse, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. We must decide that we're going to take a proactive response when it comes down to our brethren and our sisters. A quote from Benjamin Franklin that's a very famous quote says, I will speak ill of no man and speak all the good I know of everybody. Basically what that's saying is that we are not going to slander our brothers and our sisters. One of the things that I think about is that, you know, we have to get purpose in our minds that I am the place where rumors come to die when it comes down to our brothers and sisters. I am the place where rumors come to die. So I'd ask you all right now, repeat after me. I am the place where rumors come to die. I am the place where rumors come to die. He who has knowledge spares his words. We have just participated in the exercise where we put, just like the oxen in the store, we put our tails together and our horns out to help us fend off the enemies. If we always purpose in our hearts to be sober as individuals and then as the body of Christ, we become just like the oxen in the first half of the story. Tails together, horns out, and we fend off the attacks of the enemy. Point number two, the horn of vigilance. The horn of vigilance. To be vigilant means to be alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. There's one thing to be alertly watchful, but it's another thing altogether to avoid danger. Once we're in a certain situation, you know, getting out of it is one thing, but avoiding danger is something altogether different. And that's what I want to talk about in this second point. Why? Because contention precedes the full-blown quarrel. So we want to make sure that we're actually there to avoid the quarrel before it gets started. If you look back just a couple of verses to Proverbs chapter 17, we're going to look at verse 14 to bring this point home. Why should we avoid contention? And this is the reason why. It says the beginning of strife is like the releasing of water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. I like to use an analogy that I've lived through in my, most of us have had small children. And one of the things that we used to do when we went to a restaurant, I'd always be worried that the kids were going to knock over a cup on the table. And we all know that once a cup gets knocked over on the table, as soon as it hits the table, the water goes everywhere. There's nothing you can do about it to stop that water goes everywhere. So what I got into the habit of doing when my kids were little, we'd be sitting at dinner and you'd always see me moving cups around the table. Always see me moving cups around the table because their hands were going everywhere and it'd just be going right over the top of the cup. And the one thing we wanted to do was make sure that, you know, it never got knocked over because once that water got released, there was nothing that we could do to make it stop. As Christians, that's the attitude we should have with one another. We should always be in the habit of moving cups. If we see that we're headed toward this possibility to be some contention, God has chided us and put within our spirits that we should be the one moving cups to make sure that contention doesn't get started. So point number two, the horn of vigilance, in conjunction with point number one, the horn of sobriety will help fend off the attacks of the evil one. If we all purpose in our hearts to be vigilant as individuals, then as the body of Christ, we become just like the oxen in the first half of the story. Tails together, horns out, and we fend off the attacks of the enemy. So in conclusion, two weapons to fend off the enemy, the horn of sobriety and the horn of vigilance. I know many of you have probably watched nature shows. We watched them all the time when our kids were small. And if you've ever seen lions attack Cape Buffalo, they're rarely successful bringing down a Cape Buffalo. Number one, because it is a huge, powerful animal. But number two, those Cape Buffalo will always get together and they'll use those horns to fend off those lions. You've seen that on television before. But once one gets out on its own by itself, it becomes a totally, totally different story. And with time, those lions will take down the Cape Buffalo. So with that in mind, what I'd like to do to drive home my point is to read the second half of the story of the four oxen and the lion that I think will bring home my point as to why we should remain on one accord using the horns of sobriety and the horns of vigilance. A lion used to prowl about in the field in which four oxen used to dwell. Many a time he tried to attack them, but whenever he came near, they turned their tails to one another so that whichever way he approached them, he was met by the horns of one of them. But, however, at last, they fell a quarreling amongst themselves, and each went off to a pasture in a separate corner of the field alone. Then the lion attacked them one by one and soon made an end of all four. Soon made an end of all four. Brethren, I'd ask you to remember the horn of sobriety and the horn of vigilance as great weapons to fend off the attacks of Satan the devil.